This is a 911 Plus production.
Hey everybody, welcome to Unscripted Season 2. This is Adam Marciano, your host, and today I'm talking to Princess Davis, who plays Olivia on Ice Cream. We talk about being a child actor and growing up in the industry, to being an adult actor, to voice acting, and everything in between. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this unscripted conversation with Princess. Hello, my friend. How are you? Good to see you.
I'm so great. Good to see you.
I always, like, I've just been doing a lot of interviews with the Cascadia cast for the first season of the show, and I'm always like, I haven't seen you in, like, a year, but, like, it's honestly just been, like, a few months with me and you.
Yeah. A couple months, like, we August. Recorded,
yeah, like, in the summer. Yeah, August. I was in Vancouver in August, yeah. So that was when the last time. But since then, you've done so much. Like, I'm following you on social media, and you're just absolutely killing it. I'm like, oh, like, can you do this interview? And you're like, yes, of course, but I'm working all these days, and I'm just so proud of you, because it's you're doing your thing.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. That means so much. All of a sudden.
I just feel like, well, yeah, like, it's up and down, you know, as an actor, right? And, like, I know that you've been, I actually want to say, like, do you remember how we even met?
We met at an agency party.
Yes. You were one of my first people I met in Vancouver. I remember we met briefly, because I just moved to Vancouver at that point, and we went to this party, and it was, like, one of the first people I met, and I just remember we did, like, a bunch of photo booth photos, and, like, we had, like, hats and stuff, and then we just kind of kept in touch all this time, and then we'll get into, like, the whole casting part of all this later, but I like to, I guess, ask, like, my guests who have been on so far, like, because I like to take it, go back to the beginning. Like, yes, I know you and we know each other and stuff, but I don't really know your whole story. So genuinely, I'm, like, curious. How did everything start for you? And, like, are you born and raised in Vancouver?
No. So I was actually born in Toronto, Ontario.
Right.
Right. Yeah. But when I was 6 months old, I moved to Vancouver. So basically,
like
my whole life, you know, has been in Vancouver, in the Lower Mainland. Yeah. But I mean, Toronto's fun, and I like saying I'm from there.
Well, yeah, because I remember you were there this summer before we started recording Ice Cream, and it actually just kind of worked out the scheduling that you came back. I remember, like, a day before we started recording, and it just so happened that we didn't need you that first day, and I was like, okay, thank God, she can, like, relax and get not jet lag, you know? So I remember that, but yeah, Toronto's fun. I don't know, growing up here, you get, like, so sick of it, and I'm like, I miss Vancouver so much. I'm gonna come back, I promise.
Well, come back, we miss you.
So how did you start acting then? Like, when did you, have you always been doing it?
Yeah, like, I've kind of always been doing it. I remember when I was, like, 3 years old, I was, like, watching TV, and I honestly thought, like, TV, like, this box was, like, this magical, like, creation thing. I didn't really understand it, but I just felt like it was so magical, and I wanted to be, like, in it. Like, I wanted to be a part of, like, that world that I thought was mystical. So I actually, when I was 3, started doing, like, background acting and commercials.
When you were 3?
When I was 3, my mom would, like, take me.
Was it you that said that you want to do it, or did she kind of know about the industry and put you in it?
It was me.
At 3?
At 3.
Oh my God.
I know.
Destined for stardom.
Yeah, I was just, like, so compelled by it. So I started doing, like, background acting and stuff. And then when I was, I think, 12 or 13, I registered for my first, like, actual, like, acting class. And that's when I started to, like, learn and, like, build my craft and stuff like that. And then I booked my first thing at, like, 16.
And what was that?
It was one line on Rufus 2, this, like, Nickelodeon show. It's so funny. It's funny because I worked with this actor named Jace Norman, and he's, like, he was at the time a Nickelodeon actor. And I was, like, so obsessed with him, like, the biggest crush. So getting to work with him was just crazy in my mind, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, wow. Yeah.
Did he live up to the hype that in your mind? Because, you know, they always say you know, it's always scary to meet your idol because they might not be who they, you know, they think you think they are. So what was he like?
He was so nice. He was so nice. Yeah. I was only on for, like, a day and stuff.
Was it a voiceover gig, or was it, like, a live action?
It was a live action camera.
Nice.
Show. Yeah, it's so fun. But yeah, I was really excited. And then from there, just, you know, slowly booking and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, you're doing so well. So when you told your mom at three, because I've been asking everyone this too, what was her reaction? I mean, obviously it was, she was down because she put you into it, but like, did she, do you, like, have you talked to her recently about this? Like, was, did she think maybe it was just going to be a phase that would phase out, or like, like, what was her thoughts on it? Because that's kind of crazy.
It is crazy. I think because I wouldn't leave it alone, she took it seriously, because I was Mom, like, no, I want to do this. I want to do this. I want, like, and so I think then she was like, okay, maybe this kid actually wants to do this.
Yeah.
So that's why she put me in background acting to kind of like get a taste of it, you know? Mm-hmm. But my mom actually used to do acting back in Africa, surprising enough. Yeah. So she kind of was, I guess, into the art world, you know, in a sense.
I think it's interesting that you say that, because, I mean, I can relate to you on so many levels. Like, I was fascinated as a kid with the TV, because the whole concept of a television, like, how does it even come to, like, all the, I know it sounds, this sounds dumb, but how does it even, how does it even work, the technology of it? It's like, it's crazy, you know? And then, you know, I grew up with my grandparents who did background work, so just, like, the idea of, like, it being tangible, because, like, I know that, like, they're, that's what they do for a living, was that they worked on set all the time. So I was like, oh, like, it's not such a, like, foreign thing to do film and TV. But then, like, you know, you're kind of, my parents were the same. Like, I just, they kind of put me into it, but, like, they didn't think I was, maybe serious at the beginning. And so I, like, literally bullied my mom, and I was like, I want an agent! And she's like, wait until you're 13. And I was like, okay! So yeah, so I can relate to you on a lot of these kind of things. And like, we're lucky because we live in, you know, two different cities, Toronto, Vancouver. You're from Vancouver, like you said, and it's they're both film cities. Like, we can actually work there. It's not like we're in the middle of nowhere, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, very lucky in that sense, for sure.
Did you find that, like, auditioning as a kid for, like, the, I guess, what can you compare the two, like, what's the difference between auditioning now versus then?
I think because I started auditioning at like 14, 15 kind of thing. And it was a lot of like Nickelodeon and Disney stuff. And a lot of like, you know, like when you'd get a audition, it's like age like 16 or something. So a lot of like playing 16. But then what I realized later is that they'd cast older people who were above 18 to play 16. Right. And at the time, being like 14, like, I didn't understand. I was like, why? Like, I'm that age. Like, cast me. But now, like, as an adult, like, doing that, like, I, you know, I understand, like, in terms of, like, kids on set and, like, hours.
Just, like, the hours and, like, yeah. And that's actually funny that you say that, because, like, with Ice Cream, like, you know, I was originally wanting to cast actual, like, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, but then it was like, I was just like, we need to get things done fast in a day, and like,
yeah.
I was like, you know what, I could just, people can, it's all voice acting, so people can, and you sound young, and you look young, so, you know, it's fine, you and Hunter. So did you start, so where did you start taking class, and like, what kind of like techniques do you prefer when you break down a script, and you get a script, how do you kind of go about it, because every actor is different, and I'm just curious about your process, if you don't mind sharing.
Yeah, I can share. Well, I started taking classes. My first acting class was like Vancouver Young Actors.
Yes,
love that.
Just get your feet wet.
Taught me a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, just get my feet wet and like, you know, see what's up. But my technique now, I'd say like when I get a script, in terms of like booking a part and then getting a script and then breaking it down for set, I read it and read it and read it and read it until like it really starts to like stick with me and like resonate with me. And I always think like, I always think about like how I can change myself the most to be a different person. Like, how can I use parts of who I am to show you someone that I'm not, you know? And I think in terms of that, and I just think about where the humanity is, like what the story is, a love story too. Cause I think every project is a love story to something, like a love story to heartache or a love story to pain or to love or whatever it is. So I think in terms of like that kind of stuff, and I feel like with each project, it's always different in terms of my process, but but that's kind of like I really like to build characters, and I love body language. Love body language.
So was that hard then for you in the studio when we were doing the show? Because it's, you know, we didn't have body language. I guess you could, in the, you know, but How do you, I mean, you've done a lot of voice stuff, and like, I don't know if you've had the experience of working with other actors, like how we did in Ice Cream. We all recorded in the same room, so we were able to kind of get kind of physical and do things like that. We'll get into all this later, but I'm curious to know, because I'm sure you've done things where you're just isolated in a booth. How do you kind of go about that when it's just you recording your lines? Is it harder, or do you just have more fun with it?
When it's just me recording my lines in the booth, I'd say it's, I say sometimes it can be harder, you know, because you just normally have the director on the line and they're kind of telling you the vision. And then you're like, okay, I'll try it like this, or I'll try it like that. And especially if the other actors haven't recorded their lines yet and there's no playback. So you're just kind of like, you know, saying lines and the director's like, yeah, that line or this line. Which, so it was really nice, like having Hunter and like all the other actors in the room and like playing off of that, like live. I thought that was so special because it doesn't really happen anymore.
It doesn't. And that's why I was like, I really, it was so important for me. And like going forward for other shows, you know, I want that experience because it's so authentic. And not to say that the other way isn't authentic. I think with the other way, it's cool because you can like really get the best take, I guess, maybe, or you can get really right down to like what their vision is. But like, there's nothing like working across other actors in real time. And I think that you guys did such a special job. I don't know.
Thank you. You too. You killed
it. We worked at the booth too. Sorry. I just think of like, I sometimes forget. Like, I'm like, I don't even, because I have so many hats on and it's like, back to like just being a child actor. Because I, like I said, I can relate to you so much on this. And I wonder if you had the same kind of experience. I'm sure you did. But did you ever get like sent out for like, yes, we got sent out a lot for the Nickelodeon and the Disney, but did you ever get sent out for like the Lifetimes or like those like dramatic like nurse shows or hospital shows where your character is like absolutely traumatized? And did you have a hard time to like set into that? Because for me, like, I can say like I'm very blessed, very like, I didn't really have like a traumatic childhood or upbringing. And so when I would get these scripts where these kids would be like in a horror film or whatever, it was harder for me to, or just even like general like harder things, like heavier scripts, it was harder for me to relate to because I hadn't gone through that. But then as I would get older, not to say that I had a hard life, but like you grow up and you experience things and you go through things, and I found that it was easier for me to slip into things. But I was wondering if you ever had that experience, or were you able to kind of tap into those things quickly, because it's just acting.
I don't think I really got a lot of auditions early on where it was like a lot of like traumatic stuff, especially like being 14.
Right.
I remember this one audition I had. I don't remember what it was for, but like she was crying about something. And I remember, because I think that was, I think that might have been my first audition where it was like an emotion attached to it, you know, like a heavy emotion. And I remember like doing it, and then after being like, wow, I can access parts of myself like that. Like, oh, that's crazy.
Wow.
But it was definitely like a weird, exciting feeling. Like being able to be an open book at like a young age, you know, I was like, oh wow.
Yes. It's the best feeling to, when you leave a scene like that and you have the tingles in you, and that's when you know you really hit something, because I think if you're faking it, you don't get that sensation. So that's really cool that you kind of tapped into that, especially at a young age.
I think it's so liberating, you know.
It is. And I feel like people who don't act don't really understand it, but when you've been in it for a while and like you've taken your classes and you do this all the time and audition all the time, you really get to like have fun. And I guess with that being said, I love to ask all my guests this as well. What has been like the worst audition you've ever had? There has to be one. You can't tell me that there's none. There has, everyone has one.
Wow, the worst audition I've ever had. What a question. One time I had this audition for, oh, I forgot the show, but it was some TV show. And like in the audition, they were like, oh, I walked in and then they told me like, oh, can you do a French accent? And I was like, yes.
Oui, oui.
Yes to everything. I was like, yes, I can do a French accent. I start speaking. I don't know what the heck is coming out of my mouth, but I think it's French, you know? And then they're like, oh, that was great. Can we try it again, but a bit more, like, a bit more French?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, sure. That was just, like, really embarrassing. I remember leaving that and being like, wow, That was cool.
And then you got booked. No, I'm just joking.
And then I booked it, baby. Yeah.
It's always those ones that you don't think you got, you end up getting. But no, I know. I used to, there was a show here in Toronto called Rain, R-E-I-G-N. It was like on CW. And they would call me all the time and they would ask me to do an Irish accent. But I would never know how to do it. And I told my agent, I'm like, I cannot do an Irish accent. Why are you calling me in? And so I would go in every time and like butcher it. And they would still call me in for auditions. And I never booked the show, but I was just like, this is so weird. So I don't know.
So funny.
So obviously you've done voice work before. Can you tell us some of the other projects that you've done?
I played Black Widow in Marvel Battleworld, Treachery at Twilight. Yeah, it was a fun one on Disney Plus, that's on. And then I did Polly Pocket, which is coming out, I think, next year. I did Molly of Denali, and then I've done a lot of like commercials and like radio ads and stuff like that. And I did Ice Cream.
Well, I gotta tell you, you have a great voice. I knew you had a great voice, but I just didn't realize how good of a voice you have and so unique until I started editing it. It's just so unique. I can't even really tell you what it is or how unique it is, but it's so cool. And I'm just like, I'm so thankful that you worked on this because it's just so cool. And when I'm casting, I like to have different voices because it's easier for the listener to know who's talking, right? If everyone sounds similar, then it's like, it's harder.
Yeah.
So it was really cool. So I guess, have you never done an audio drama before?
No, I've never done an audio drama.
Did you even know what it was? Because a lot of people don't.
I didn't really know until I heard about Cascadia, you know? Yes. And that's when I was like, oh, this is a new world people are like venturing into. So it was exciting to, I guess, like be one of the first people to do something, you know, like
this medium.
I feel like a lot of people don't know. Yeah.
Well, I remember how it kind of came about. We were auditioning for, and I've talked about this because I just did an interview with the character who played Maria on Cascadia, and we basically moved the production to Vancouver. We were going to do stuff in Toronto, and so we had to recast Maria. And so I was auditioning people, and, you know, you auditioned for it, and I knew you and stuff. But then it turned out that we ended up going back to Toronto, and so we were able to work with her, right? So we didn't end up going with you, but I loved, loved, loved your audition. I loved your voice. And I remember telling you, I said, okay, we're not going to go with this one, but I will have something for you, I promise, in the future. And you're like, okay. And I don't know if you thought I was serious, but I was. And, you know, when Ice Cream came about, I, like, called you. I didn't even audition you. I said, no audition required. You got the part, kid, because you're so good. And So thank you so much for coming on. What was your kind of thought process? Because, again, it's a new medium for you. So
I was so excited. I mean, working with you. I listened to Cascadia, and I loved it. And I was like, I was just really excited to do something that I haven't done before. Working with Hunter. I love Hunter.
Yes.
I was just really excited to be able to collaborate on something new. And the script was insane. And I was like, wow, like, I want to be a part of this. So, how do you know Hunter?
Yeah. Like, tell everybody how you, I guess Hunter plays Elgin Foster, of course. You know, he's so good. I didn't know you guys knew each other until I think I told you who was already on the cast. You're like, oh my gosh, Hunter, I know him. So how did you guys even know each other from before?
We went to acting class together, actually, when we were, I think, 14. So I knew him as when we were like kid actors, and now we're really close friends and stuff. We help each other audition.
Oh yes. We were recording one day and you were like, you guys finished for the day. And I was like, what are you guys up to? And you're like, oh, we're going to go back to Hunter's and do an audition tape. And I was like, that's so cute.
Yeah, he's great. It was from acting class and then kind of being connected ever since then, but not really until we came and did the show and then reconnected.
That's so cool. Yeah. And like, so I guess what was it like to work with him? Because obviously we all worked together, but like being in a scene with him, you know, he's your friend, but what was it like recording with him and doing all these scenes together? It was so crazy.
Yeah, Hunter's so fun. It was just so much fun because I feel like we're so playful together and we just like have fun together. So that it was just really fun being in the same room as him. Because I love creating with him. It was so delightful. And he's so talented.
So talented. I mean,
he's
you both are.
Good in this.
I remember me and Antonio, we were sitting in the booth in the control room, and we just, I think we did, it was one of the scenes where you say, oh, like the ice cream truck. No one questions the ice cream truck man. They just shove monies in our hand and tell us to go back. And I remember we did that in like two takes. And I feel like me and Antonio were just like, jaw drop the whole time, because you guys had that natural chemistry. You know, there's not really like a love scene or love whatever in the show. It's just natural chemistry that you could have with friends or whatever. And I thought that like we, and that just was so organic. And I feel like it was because you guys knew each other from before. And you know, I don't know, you guys were just so, so cute.
Yeah, it was like genuine friendship. And I love that.
So can you tell us a little bit about Olivia and her personality, and if you would even do the things that she, like, did you agree with her choices? Are you more of a goody two shoes like her? Tell us all the things.
Totally. Olivia, I love her. I'd say Olivia's one of Elgin's neighbor, and you know, she helps Elgin try to figure out who this ice cream guy is and where his brother is and all that. So I describe her as like a loyal friend and like smart and trustworthy, you know, kind, nice, gentle, sensitive. And yeah, like I think I would be an Olivia, especially in those situations.
In this situation,
where,
in
a situation, you know, where it's like, oh, you're venturing into something that's scary or risky and you're trepidatious. And Olivia's like, no, Elgin, like, let's go home. Like, your dad's waiting. And I feel like I would be like that, like, if I was in that situation.
I mean, Elgin was a little unhinged. He kind of got, like, off the rails at one point, obsessive. And you're just like, no. But then, you know, and that's interesting because, like, you guys did have some dark scenes and a lot of, like, physical stuff too, because you're, you know, especially near the end of the series, you guys are running and there's all these, like, you got attacked. So do you remember like getting that physicality, how we kind of went through all that in the studio?
Especially like, you know, when we were riding bikes and stuff, and it was like pretending to ride bikes and you know, being in that and being in that breath work for it.
And I was like, I know this is going to feel weird, you guys, but just give me a bunch of breaths. And you're like, okay. I'm like, I promise it'll sound fine, you know, but we need that, you know, because it's going to sound like you're going to be on a bike. So,
yeah. And it was really fun just like, you know, because it felt like we were doing it, oddly enough. Like, it felt like, you know, I could picture the scene. So it was so beautiful being able to do that. But even the scene where, you know, Elgin goes to the ice cream guy's house and then Olivia comes and then she gets like mouth gagged or whatever by like the wife and I'm screaming and all that. That was so much fun to do.
That was a lot of fun.
And like scary because a lot of emotion came up, but exciting because I was like, wow. Like, I'm in it. Like, I feel, you know.
Yeah, I remember telling you, I was like, hey, cover your mouth and just scream as loud as you can and we can get that, you know what I mean? And,
and the
reason why I told you that was because, and, like, it's interesting that you said that, that you felt this kind of new emotion, was that I feel like our bodies were very, like, we don't, we could trick our bodies into feeling something because our bodies are obviously, like, aren't connected to our mind. Well, it is, but it's not, you know? So if you can physically do something to your body, your mind doesn't really know. That's why I learned in acting class. And so it will unleash all these emotions in you that you maybe didn't think. And that's why physicality is so important for acting because, like I said, you could trick your body into, like, emotionally, chemically reacting to things. And so when I made you kind of, like, cover your mouth and like throw yourself back on the wall, like it you know, it gave an authentic performance that I think maybe would have been probably good still if it wasn't that, but it just was more real because it was real. You were actually doing
it was
that.
Like I learned that you can trick your brain but you can't trick your nervous system.
Exactly, that's what I'm trying to say.
And yeah, for sure.
So definitely. Did you have any like hard, like, was it, did you find it difficult in any way because there was no visuals, or did you kind of just, like you said, imagine it all? I mean, Antonio's dream is to record in a virtual reality room where the screen's all around and we can like put you actually on a street or something, you know? That'd be really cool.
Wow, that is so cool.
How did you kind of go about this, or did you not find it hard at all because you said you could imagine everything?
I think because it was written so beautifully and I had great direction like from you and Antonio that it wasn't hard. Like, I could definitely imagine, like, who Olivia could be and what she would look like. And Elgin and the streets and, you know, all that. So it was, my mind was like, it was very vivid in my mind. It felt like we were making a movie without, you know, like a visual movie. It was so beautiful.
Did you, like, do you have any funny memories from recording the whole thing? Or, because it was...
I'd say the scene that we just talked about, actually, where I'd cover my mouth and, like, scream. I think that was, like, it was so funny, but, like, so fun. And then, like, you being in the room and being all creepy. I think that was a funny memory.
It's so funny, like, because I feel like we were laughing between the takes and stuff, but then, like, it sounds so creepy when it's all edited together. But I'm like, no, the whole time we were, like, laughing.
So,
what is your reaction to, like, seeing everybody online like loving it and listening to it and enjoying your performance and all these things?
It was so exciting. I think sometimes you do shows and you just don't know what the reception's gonna be like.
Yeah.
And you know, you can want it to be good, but you can't control that. And it's like to hear that we were getting great reception was just, you know, really exciting, really heartwarming. We put so much energy and, you know, work into it. So
you got, and yes, you guys, honestly, like we were scheduled to record for 5 days and I remember we did it in 4 days and you guys worked so hard, but you, not just that, like I could tell you guys are trained professional actors because like I said, we did it in 4 days, but you guys would go in the studio, do it a few times, next scene, do it a few times, next scene. Like we didn't need to like make you guys do it a million times because you guys were just so freaking good. And that comes from the discipline, from you practicing all the time, auditioning all the time. And I know people don't like auditioning a lot, but that's practice, man. Like that's practicing your skill, even if you don't get the job. And you can't look at it like you need this job. It's about practicing and showing what you can to those casting directors. So it showed. Sure. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
You too.
Do you have any advice for anyone who is listening who would want to get into showbiz, whether it be acting on camera or voice work?
I'd say like the more authentic you could be, the better. And not just in terms of like, you know, acting authentic and tapping into your emotions and being an open book, but I'd say like authentic with yourself and self-discovery and figuring out like who you actually want to be. And also not trying to be like other people because you see somebody in this box, mm-hmm. like create your own shape, you know? Mm-hmm. I'd say that's authenticity is what I'd say. And I feel like when you're authentic, everything flows. You feel
just
so
about to
better.
Say that at the end of the day, like if you're authentic and even if you don't get the job or if you don't get the whatever, you know, in your heart that you were real and that you were you and it was authentic and that's, you know, that's all that really matters, right? So tell everybody what you have coming up, because I know, you, like I said, you're so busy. You're like working all the time. So tell us what's coming up.
So I have this movie coming out. It's called The Gift of Peace. And it's about grief during the holiday times and how like that can be hard. Like I have personal experience around that. So it's like building awareness about it. And it's actually one of Hallmark's, because it's a Hallmark produced movie, but it's one of Hallmark's like most emotional movie they've ever made.
Yeah,
and it's the first movie produced by Dayspring, which is like the Christian brand. Mm-hmm. So December 10th on Hallmark.
Okay.
So that's exciting.
And what's your character on that?
Oh, my character. Yeah, my character's name is Regina. Mm-hmm. And she's a former singer, but her mom passed away. And because of that, she like stopped singing and kind of stopped believing in herself. And like, she lacks like confidence and stuff. And then throughout the film, she regains it and becomes herself again.
I love that. That's so beautiful. Yeah. And then you said you were going to say something else? There's another thing coming out?
Yeah, and then I just finished two movies. I don't know if I can really talk about them, but they're like, it's produced by this lady who's super amazing.
Are they both produced by the same person?
Both produced by the same person.
Is it like the same, like a one part one, part two, or is it two different films?
Yeah, it's actually part one, part two, so it's a sequel. So it's... it's like this one movie and then 15 years later. I know. It was so wild to do.
Did they age you up or how did that work?
Yeah, they aged me up. They like totally changed my hair. I have a kid in the other one.
I'm
like a full entire adult woman. And I look like really old in it too. So it's
And okay,
I
and
know.
What's your character, if you're allowed to say, what's she like on that?
What's she like? I'd say in the first one, so my character's very tomboy. She's very like masculine, but she's very like confident in herself.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like life of the party and really fun. And then in the second one, she's more grounded and, you know, just trying to figure out her life and perhaps like struggles a bit more to find herself. Oh. Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely keep in touch with you and then we'll check it out. I'm sure you'll be posting all about it. Now, because the show is called Unscripted, I want to know if you can have an unscripted conversation with anyone, dead or alive, famous or not, who would it be and why?
Oh, wow. Huh. I'd say, okay. I would love to speak with Viola Davis.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, I would just love to hear about, I know she's such like a phenomenal woman. I would just love to hear about her life. And just,
I mean, I read her book and her, and she's gone through so much. And
so much.
Yeah, that's, and she's just such an inspiration. And like the fact that she's like one of the best actresses in the world, like, yes, that's a really
good
one.
Tell me about it. Yeah. So inspiring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her last name is Davis. My last name is Davis.
It's meant to be. You're going to work together one day.
I want to be here.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and chatting and hanging out with me. I know that everyone has just been telling me how much they love you and your performance and just the show in general. And I'm, again, so grateful that you lent your talent and your work to this project. And I'm just so proud of you. And I'm excited to see all the things that are going to come in 2023 from you. So,
well, thank you so much for inviting me on this. And thank you for having me on that show. Yes. It was so much fun. I love you guys.
See ya. Thank you for listening to this episode of Unscripted. That was my conversation with Princess Davis. She is the best. You can follow her on Instagram, which is I am Princess Davis, or on Twitter, which is I'm Princess Davis. All the links will be in the show notes. And you can follow me at Adam Murciano, both on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.